Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we will continue our study of the Book of Iyov, focusing on Sofar's retort to Iyov in the 20th chapter as the second round of arguments comes to its conclusion. In this chapter, Sofar builds on the central thesis of his predecessor's explanations about why evil people seem to flourish and prosper. As he concluded his speech in the previous chapter, Iyov declared his faith that someday, somehow, be he alive or dead, a redeemer, whether human or divine, will arise to advocate for him and prove that the suffering that he endured was undeserved. Iyov warned his friends that they would be held accountable for subverting the truth through their attempts at theodicy. Nevertheless, the youngest of his friends, Tzofar, refused to remain silent, and in the 20th chapter he presents a soliloquy describing the atrocious comeuppance that will inevitably befall evildoers. He does not address Iyov directly, nor does he make any explicit accusations. Instead, he seems to be speaking to himself in the opening verses, hoping to undo any blasphemous ideas that may have rubbed off of Iyov's speech. Tzofar cannot remain silent, lest it appear that he agrees with Iyov. Trying to convince others, and more importantly, to bolster his own beliefs, he emphatically declares that sinners are doomed to inevitable downfall and eradication. In verses 4 and 5, he asks rhetorically, Hazot yadata mini ad mini si madam malei aretz, don't you realize that from the beginning of time, ever since people were first placed on the earth, that the triumph of the wicked has been short-lived, and the joy of the sycophant has been only temporary? Rachel Margaliot takes note that in the first round, when the friends were considering the problem of Rasha Vetovlo, Tzofar argued that having limited perception and little or no knowledge of the distant past or of the future, human beings cannot determine who is really a tzaddik and who is a Rasha. Such evaluations depend on the relationship between an individual's behavior and his potential hidden from the eye. Only God can assess what a person's potential is and how it is influenced by his genetic inclinations, his intentions and desires, his upbringing, and his social context. If Noach was deemed tzaddik bedorotav in comparison to his contemporaries, he may not have been so praised had he lived in a different era. Only God can make such judgments, and only his judgments are perfect and irrefutable. Now, in the second round, Tzofar addresses the problem of Rasha Vetovlo and suggests that the evildoer's peace and prosperity are deceptive, for sooner or later, he or his children will reap the bitter wages of his transgressions, suffering for the obvious sins as well as the hidden ones, and will also be punished for the sins of omission, those good deeds that he could have done but did not. Tzofar then describes the downfall of the Rasha, which is proportional to his erstwhile success. Im ya'aleh l'shamayim siyo, v'roshu la'av yagia. כגללו לנצח יובד. רועב יאמרו, איו, כחלום יעוף ולא ימצאוהו, ויודד כחזיון לילה. Though his height reaches to the heavens and his head touches the clouds, he will perish forever like his own dung. Those who have seen him will say, where is he? Like a dream, he flies away, no more to be found. He will be vanished like a vision of the night. The term galal is a double entendre, which can refer to a stone rolling down from the peaks like an avalanche crashing into the depths. But it also means a piece of excrement, which in ancient times was burned as fuel. The metaphor is particularly obscene, suggesting that the Rasha will be proven utterly worthless and stinkingly repulsive. Iov could not have missed the implied insult. In the 10th verse, Tzophar suggests that the Rasha's children will pay for the ill-gotten wealth that their father obtained through chicory and exploitation. Banav yiratzu dalim, veyadav tashevna ono. His children must make amends to the poor that they exploited. His own hands must give back his wealth to those that he had tricked. And in humiliation, the Rasha will die unexpectedly in the prime of his life. Tzophar describes vividly the human capacity to rationalize immoral behavior, finding it sweet to the palate and irresistible. In verses 12 to 13, he says, Im tamtik befiv ra'a, yachidena tachat leshono, yachmol aleha velo yazvena, veyimnaena betochiko. Though evil is sweet in his mouth, he hides it under his tongue. He cannot bear to let it go and lets it linger in his mouth. It is easy to become inured and even addicted to easy money obtained through illicit means. The crook may cover up his conniving methods, but he cannot resist the temptation to use those methods because Maim Gnuvim Yimtaku, as Mishle indicated, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is delicious. Ultimately, however, the savory flavor of sin turns into bitter poison in his bowels, and the ill-gotten wealth and power will be forcibly ejected. Lachmo b'me'av nehepach, merorat p'tanim b'kirbo. Chayil bala v'yekienna, mibitno yorishenu el. Rosh p'tanim yinak, tehargehu leshon efeh. His food in his bowels has turned into the bitterness of vipers within him. He has swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of vipers. The asp's tongue shall slay him. Whatever riches and pleasures the Rasha accumulated will prove paltry indeed compared to the anguish and strife it took to obtain it, and to the suffering it yielded afterwards. In verses 17 and 18, Tzophar describes, Al yere biflagot, nahare nachale dvash vechem'ah, meshiv yaga velo yivla, כחיל תמורתו ולא יעלוס. He will not enjoy the streams, the rivers flowing with honey and butter. He will give back all that he labored for and shall not swallow it. For all the substance that he has gotten, he shall not rejoice. The criminal exploiter will never get the chance to enjoy the wealth and power he managed to grab hold of, as he will always be persecuted and pursued by those he abused. Kiritzetz azav dalim bayit gazal velo yivnehu, ki lo yada shalev bivitno, bechamudo lo yimalet. For he has crushed the poor and left them destitute. He seized a house he did not build. He will have no respite from his belly's craving. He cannot save himself by his stolen treasure. If he manages to escape the vengeance of those he wronged, the Rasha will be persecuted by the authorities who are laying in ambush. Yivrach meneshek barzel, tachlifehu keshet nechusha. Though he flees from an iron weapon, a bronze-tipped arrow will pierce him. Even if he manages to elude his human pursuers, the Rasha will ultimately be exposed and punished, if not by human justice, then by divine omniscience and through natural law, as indicated in the 27th verse. Yigalu shamayim avono, ve'eretz mitkomemalo. The heavens will expose his guilt. The earth will rise up against him. Amos Chacham points out that Sofar is countering Iyov's cry in the 16th chapter, where he called upon the heavens and the earth to vindicate him, to stand witness and testify on his behalf. At that time he cried, Eretz, al techasi dami, ve'al yehi makom lezaakati, gam ata hinei bashamayim edi, ve'sahadi bamromim. Earth, do not cover my blood. May my cry never be laid to rest. Even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. Now Tzofar is calling on the heaven and the earth not to expose Iov's innocence, but to expose the hidden sins of the Rasha. He is clearly mocking Iov, telling him that the heavens and the earth have exposed his guilt, even if his friends could not. And the cosmos continued to testify against Iov and ultimately wreak divine justice. It is common throughout the Tanakh to evoke blessings from the heavens and the earth, who serve as Hashem's emissaries to reward the righteous with quenching dew and bountiful yields, and conversely, Yigel yevul beito nigarot biyom apo. Ze chelek adam rasha me'elokim, benachalat imro mekel. Now Tzofar takes those bountiful blessings from heaven and turns them into plentiful curses that come crashing down. The produce of his house shall depart. His goods shall flow away on the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage willed to him by God. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Rezul Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.